Topic today is prayer. Prayer is talking to God and also hearing from God. That's simply what it is. And in Old Testament times, there was a way to talk to God and to hear from God. You remember probably some of those stories. One is Moses going up on the mountaintop, where the people of Israel stayed at the base of the mountain and camped out there. And poor old Moses had to crawl up a mountain, hands and knees. But not only that, there's thunder and there's lightning and there's cloud over this mountain. So it's not only the pitiful task of trying to climb up a mountain, but imagine trying to climb up a mountain in a storm all by yourself. Just to be able to speak a word to God or hear a word from God. And then he gets up there and the presence of the Lord is there. And he hears a word. And he prays for the people at the bottom of the mountain. And then he has to go all the way back down the mountain. You imagine him repeating over and over, "Thus saith the Lord, you people," whatever. So he wouldn't forget a word that God had said to the people. And by the time he gets down to the base of the mountain, there's this ragged character. He's got bloody knees and bloody hands, wet from sweat and rain, dirty and dusty, emerging from the wilderness to say, "Thus saith the Lord." And that's how people spoke to God and heard from God. Later on, times have changed, and there's a temple. There's a nice, big, fancy building where people can gather to worship and pray, and that was one way to pray. But once a year, the high priest, the big priest, the Pope, so to speak, gets to go into a special, fancy room where the presence of God dwells and speak a prayer for the behalf of the people. And he has to be pure and he has to be blameless when he goes in. Otherwise, they fear God will strike him dead. So the other priests tie a rope around his ankle as he heads into this room so that if God strikes him dead, they pull the rope, yank him out. Puts a little pressure on the pastor. And he goes in and says this prayer that's been rehearsed and repeated year after year. And that was the process they had to go through to speak a word to God and to hear from God. Between that Holy of Holies room and the courtyard where people could gather, there was a veil. And every year they added another piece of fabric to that veil. And when I think of veil, I just think of like a thin piece of gauze or something, right? Like the brides have. Do they still do that? I don't think I've seen those for a while. Or maybe you think of like a little curtain, right? And just year after year, they add one, two, three, and I don't know how many curtains you have at home. I've been doing the hotel circuit recently, and I just noticed three curtains seems to be normal, and I never noticed that. Anyway, but year after year, they add curtain after curtain after curtain to the point where there's a team of priests just shoving this thick wall of fabric to be able to get him in to speak a word of God. And then time goes by, and as Jesus comes, his prayer life is different. Does he have to do what Moses does? Does he have to climb all the way up a huge mountain? Well, at least on one occasion he did. Goes up the Mount of Transfiguration. God speaks out of the cloud. He sees who? Moses? and Elijah. And they go up on the mountain, and getting to be in the presence of those holy saints and of God, Peter gets all excited. Why don't we just stay here? Put up a nice little building. Put up a steeple. But the purpose of the mountain isn't to stay on the mountain. It's to come out from the mountain. And Jesus continues his ministry. Does Jesus have to go to the wilderness to pray? Well, sometimes he does. His ministry begins in wilderness. The Bible says he goes out into the wilderness surrounded by wild animals. If you go out into the wilderness, you're completely reliant on God. And that's a good way to learn how to pray, isn't it? Imagine going out to West Texas. Nothing. Take no food. Take no water. Take no sack. Take no second cloak. Take no money in your belt. Are you going to make it? I don't know. You're going to be relying on God, though. He's in the wilderness surrounded by wild animals, seeking to take a chomp out of his leg. It's a good place to learn how to pray. But it wasn't normal for Jesus to be climbing up a mountain to pray all the time. And yet when he's around, then the temple's still there. Does he go to the temple to pray? Yes, he does. Sometimes. But sometimes he's also off by himself. The Bible says early in the morning, Jesus was out praying by himself, as was his custom. He didn't have to climb a mountain to say a prayer or hear a word of God. He didn't have to wait for one special moment to go to a fancy building to speak a word to God and from God. And here's what Hebrews 5:7 says about Jesus' prayer life. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplication with loud cries and tears to him who is able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears. And he was heard because of his reverence. Got a whole sermon right there, but he wasn't heard simply because he's the Son of God. He wasn't heard because he was praying. He was praying, heard because of his reverence. Because he submitted himself to God. And in Jesus' death on the cross, on a level it looks just like Moses up on the mountain. There's thunder and there's lightning and there's the cloud of the presence of God. And another level, we're reminded of the priest going to the temple because the veil is torn in half. It's not a thin sheet of gauze torn in half. It's that thick wall of fabric that had been built up year after year, separating people further from God, making you further and further away from the Lord. And in Jesus' death, that veil is just ripped in half. And anyone can enter the presence of God. And anyone can speak a word to God. And anyone can hear from God. Can you imagine how exciting it would have been for the Israelites to hold a Bible in their hands? Be able to just have the Word of God. To not spend their whole lives camped out, yearning and waiting for a little word. Could you imagine how much the priest would have loved to be able to just have a word spoken from God in a nice, convenient paper and fake leather cover? Just to be able to have that word of God accessible to them? How much they would have loved to be able to just wake up in the morning and speak to God and know that He hears. And yet we're blessed with the Word of God, probably on your bookshelf, maybe on your nightstand, maybe on your phone. Do we use it? We're blessed with a God who just yearns to listen to us. A God who's not far away in a mountain, who's not secreted away in a special room, but a Father who just loves to hear what's going on in His kid's life, who would just love to help them out and bless them in their life. We are not only invited to speak to God, but we are expected to speak to God. Jesus starts on that reading we had this morning saying that when you pray, He doesn't say if you pray. He doesn't say if you're so good to me that you'll take 3 minutes amidst your busy schedule of watching television and playing with your phone. He says, no, when you pray, and then gives instructions for prayer. He talks about going off by yourself into a separate room to pray, and there's times where you need to get by yourself to pray. It's that simple. There's too many distractions. And that there's also times where Jesus prayed with His disciples, prayed in a worshiping body. He commands His disciples to pray, "Our Father, not my Father," as a reminder that, yes, we'll also get together and pray together. We'll pray sometimes alone, sometimes in a group. Sometimes we pray quietly. There are times in your life quietness is the only appropriate prayer. That quiet whisper in your heart and mind. I thank God that He listens to that. I thank God that I can pray all day long in my mind without looking like a crazy person. And He hears. But also there are occasions to pray out loud. Someone recorded of Martin Luther that when he would go into the church and pray, crowds could hear him in the street. He prayed that loud. How loud would you have to pray to be heard at Emmanuel? Sometimes we pray alone, sometimes we pray together. Sometimes we pray quiet, sometimes we pray out loud. First, read your Bible. Ground yourself in the Word of God accessible and given over to you. And then just talk to God as if He's a person in the room. And Vacation had a meal with a pastor friend of mine. And when we had the meal prayer, he said, it wasn't "Come Lord Jesus," and it wasn't "Rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub," or any of those. He said, "Jesus, here we are sitting at this table, and we pray You just pull up a chair next to us and sit alongside us, and that You be as part of the meal as anybody else here." I thought that was nice. I remember the first time I heard a new believer pray. Young man, just learning the basics about God and putting his faith in the Lord. It's explained that prayer is talking to God. It's that simple. You can do it, quiet or aloud, alone or in a group. And he prayed his first prayer, and it was something like this. Hi, God. This is Matt. Thank you for forgiving me. And, well, I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye. We can be honest enough to acknowledge it was kind of a bad prayer. It's like a phone call, right? But if you pray badly, pray badly. And keep doing it. You have a Father who's yearning to hear from you. I remember in one time I was up in pastor up in Fargo, North Dakota. Well, I guess I shouldn't say where it is. Somebody went to talk to me, and it was in a cold city that may or may not resemble Fargo, North Dakota. But a woman who had come to a woman's study group, and she'd been going to church her whole life, 70 years. And she got invited to this study group, and as she was a guest, they gave her that exciting position of, you know, at the beginning of this group, could you say a prayer for us? And she said, no. I don't know how. Been going to church for 70 years, but the crazy guy up front in the white robe had been doing it for her. She had to come, Lord Jesus. Now I lay me down to sleep. Our Father had those three. But just in a group? How do you pray? In 1 Peter 4:7, it says, the end of all things is at hand. The end of all things is at hand. We're at a LCMC gathering of leaders this past couple days. A couple hundred church leaders from LCMC, Texas. One of the speakers mid-talk said, are we living in the end times? If you think so, raise your hand. I think about 80% of the pastors raised their hands. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Be self-controlled. Control yourself. It's not God just wants you to be happy. God cares more about your holiness than your happiness. Part of the Christian walk is being self-controlled. Be self-controlled and sober-minded. Right? They're sober-bodied and drunk-bodied. You know what a drunk person's like. There's also sober-minded and drunk-minded. A drunk mind just kind of, what, wanders around, can't walk a straight line, falls over here and there. Sober-minded is clear and focused and capable. Be self-controlled and sober-minded. Why? For the sake of your prayers. Your prayer life is that important that controlling yourself and your mind for the sake of your prayers is the heart of God. This week I encourage you to pray as much as you possibly can. Don't let it be a Sunday morning, you have to go to this pointy building. But Monday at work and over lunch And when your friend says she has a doctor's appointment, or your coworker said your mother just got put into hospice, when you see another funeral notice posted at the grocery store, pray. You don't have to climb a mountain. You don't have to wait to enter a special temple. And the God who heard the pleas of the people of Israel, and the God who heard the cries of Moses, and the God who heard those cries in the temple, and the God who gave Abraham and Sarah a baby after 99 years, and healed the blind beggar, and healed lepers, and resuscitated the dead, that God hears your prayers and is waiting for you to speak them.